to have Mike. Thank you, Mike, for playing those songs today. We are so blessed today to have with us a really special lady. I had not met her until today that we had talked on the phone, and I had received a newsletter from her, as we do from many of our missionaries as they begin their itineration. And as many of you are aware, the structure of our World Missions Program in the Assemblies of God is that missionaries that are called and approved as missionaries, then they must gather their own financial support to be on the mission field. And they do that through a process called itineration. And they visit the churches. They tell what God's called them to do. They tell their story. And hopefully the churches will respond in generosity to be supportive and to help them and to continue to be on the mission field. They've got to have that financial support as well as our prayers. So today, in our special Missions Emphasis Sunday, we're really blessed to have Vicki Willis Ross as our special speaker and our missionary. Vicki Willis Ross has been serving in a land that used to be known as Swaziland, but it's now Eswatini. Say that very quickly, Eswatini. And she has been serving in a foreign mission field for 11 years. And her work in Eswatini, she's currently the academic dean of the Eswatini College of Theology. So that means she's a really bright person. Amen. She is a very bright person. The dean of the Eswatini College of Theology. She also serves as the coordinator for the nation of Eswatini for Global University, as well as Global University and Africa's Hope, which are curriculums that are designed to help those folks in that country prepare for ministry, whether it's formal ministry as pastors or evangelists, or whether it may be just ministry in their own churches. So it's an incredible program. She's got this hands-on experience in that nation, impacting lives for Jesus Christ. She's got that experience in that nation, impacting and teaching and training and showing others how to go forward and preach the Word of God and share the hope of Jesus Christ. That is a great thing, amen? It is a wonderful thing because it becomes local. It becomes those folks there being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and going forth with the message of Jesus Christ. So, Vicki, without any further comments, please come forward and give her a warm welcome this morning.
Is the season for allergies, so I don't travel without my water. And it blends in so well with the decor. Thank you, Pastor, for that lovely introduction. I didn't know you were going to give them all that good information. My name is Vicki Ross, and I am a missionary to the Kingdom of Eswatini. This is actually my third career. I did not go to the mission field until the age 52. And I can't imagine doing anything else with the rest of my life. People ask me all the time, how long do you want to do this? And I tell them, until I can't. Until I physically can't get on that plane and make that trip, I want to keep serving God where He has called me to serve. Because this is a missions emphasis day, if you'll click right up there where it says start slideshow. That's perfect. I'm going to give you more than just the Africa view of things, although I will emphasize the Africa view of things because that's where my heart is. But according to the Joshua Project, which you can look up online or get your grandkids to look it up for you, the Joshua Project estimates global population right now at 7.9 billion people, almost 8 billion people. But the Joshua Project also estimates that 3.6 billion of those people have never had an adequate witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is worldwide. Worldwide, It is amazing how many people have never heard. The African continent is also one of the most evangelized and least discipled. And that's a problem. If you'll go to the next slide, as he told you, I am the academic dean at the Eswatini College of Theology. And I've been in that position since November of 2019. That's just my current thing. I've done a lot of other different things. Could you hit, is it not working? It's not working. My original assignment was to teach girls in a girls' school how to sew. That's a long way from being the academic dean of a Bible college. But my first assignment, I spent a year teaching five girls how to sew so that they had a skill and they didn't have to go into prostitution once they aged out of the orphanage system. Practical ministry is something that God has called me to. So every time someone asks me, can you do this, can you do that, I didn't automatically say no. I said, well, I've never done that exactly, but I have done something similar, so I'll try. So every time God opened a door and I stepped through it, things just began to happen. And I ended up, before I took over as the academic dean of the Bible College, as the director of compassion ministries for the entire country of Eswatini, the Assemblies of God, I sat on the Assemblies of God National Committee. I looked at that and I said, wow, God, I thought I was going to teach girls how to sew. I didn't know you were going to put me in a position of leadership. And God has continued to bless and continued to open doors for me. And I, like I said earlier, I cannot imagine doing anything else with the rest of my life. Now, I want to give you some statistics here. If you can go to the next slide. This shows the estimated population growth of the world. Now, look at that yellow line. That yellow line is sub-Saharan Africa. The next line below it, the next fastest growing one, is Northern Africa and the Middle East. The mathematics just don't work out here. The least reached people groups are growing faster than we can send missionaries to reach them. This is a problem. In Africa, there are 54 nations. Right now, there are 21 of those 54 nations that do not have an Assemblies of God missionary in their country. We've got to pray for more missionaries. However, some of those places in Africa that are unreached, we are forbidden to go. So how are we going to reach the millions of people in those unreached people groups? The Joshua Project, again, estimates that 400 million people on the continent of Africa remain unreached. That's huge. That's huge. How can we reach all of Africa? If you'll go to the next slide. AGWM Africa has a bold vision. We want to plant a church within walking distance of every African. Now, walking distance for you and me is a lot shorter than walking distance in Africa. People walk everywhere. When I come home and I drive out of DFW Airport, I look around and I think, where is everybody? Because there's nobody walking on the side of the road. People walk everywhere in Africa, and it's not unusual for people to walk 2 or 3 miles to go to school, to go to the market, to go to church. Within walking distance, like I said, is a lot shorter for us because we're just used to having our cars. But the way that we want to do that is we want to be planting and nurturing and partnering with Africans. We cannot reach the continent of Africa, but we can train Africans to reach the continent of Africa. Go to the next slide. We want to partner, we want to plant churches where it does not exist. Plant the church where it does not exist. This is evangelism. We want to nurture the church where it is young and where it is weak. This is discipleship. This is also serving. This is also compassion ministries. Nurturing the church and teaching them how to make do for themselves. How to utilize the gifts that God has given them to help them to help their neighbors. And lastly, we want to partner with the church where it's strong. We have some really great success stories in Africa. Right now, we have over 350 Bible colleges and extension schools in Africa. The country of Tanzania is sending missionaries to other countries. The country of Malawi is sending missionaries to other countries. But then there are those countries that still have so many unreached people. So how are we going to reach all of Africa? Go to the next slide. By training Africans to reach Africa is how we will be able to reach all of Africa. Spirit-empowered, biblically trained leaders are the hope of Africa. Not just anybody can go out and do what needs to be done. We want to train these people with firm Pentecostal foundations. The Bible says what the Bible says, and that's what it says.
Amen.
Okay. None of this weird stuff that goes on. We are training Africans to reach Africa. I'm helping with that just a little bit because I'm involved in education. I was an educator and I was also an administrator before I ever went to the mission field. Go to the next slide. In my ministry there as academic dean, actually, I started out just teaching the music class. You know, they said, can you teach the music class? I said, sure, I can do that, while I was doing compassion ministry somewhere else. And then they said, well, you did that so well. You have a degree in science. Would you like to teach the science class? Sure. So I ended up teaching the music class, the science class, the computer class, both English classes, and the literature class. And then they finally said, why don't you just come and be our academic dean because you're already here all the time anyway. I said, okay, I can do that because although I love teaching, my real gift is organizing information. I'm an administrator at heart. I love organizing information. So they hadn't had an academic dean or a registrar for 4 years before I came. Can you imagine? Students had been in school for 4 years and didn't even have some of their grades yet from the first year. So that was like heaven for me. Give me a mess and let me clean it up. Nobody else wanted to do it, but I loved it, so that was perfect for me. Eswatini College of Theology is a pretty small little college. I mean, if we count all of our extension schools and diploma students that are not enrolled for a BA, we might have 150 students countrywide. But we are training people to reach not only their own country, but to go to other countries in Africa where we can't go. We have there a diploma in Bible and theology. We also offer the Global University bachelor's degree in Bible and theology. And in February of 2020, we started a master's degree program, the first one in Southern Africa. Well, we all know what happened in March of 2020. Everything shut down. I had to send everybody home. And because of that, we started online classes for the first time ever. go to the next slide. And in 2020, we ended up with more students at the end of the year than we did at the beginning of the year because of online classes. 2021 was the biggest graduation ever for Eswatini College of Theology, and it's been there 30 years. So because of the pandemic, we were able to grow and increase our footprint in the country. Yes, it was a terrible thing, but it was also an opportunity. It was an opportunity to reach more people than we would have ever reached with just our physical location. We have students in our master's program from 5 different countries that are all doing everything online. It's amazing what God has done despite the COVID pandemic. So go to the next slide. Your prayers for Bible colleges in general, for Global University in particular, and for me in particular, are helping to create hope in Eswatini for people who otherwise wouldn't have access to that kind of education. We have pastoral training. I'm also teaching biblical development principles, community development. I travel around to rural communities and I do community development training. We have a biblical counseling track now we've added. And we also have that master's degree. I have added, since I've been academic dean, skills and business training for our pastors, because most of our pastors are self-supporting. Their churches are so small or so poor that they cannot support a pastor. So they're all bivocational and they're self-supporting. So we've helped them with farms, with farming, and with farm tools, and with agriculture, and how to grow healthier goats, and you know how to sell your chickens, make a profit, those kinds of things. There is a ton of good news coming out of Eswatini and Southern Africa in general. Go to the next slide. However, it's not all good news. In 2021, pro-democracy protesters who had just been kind of walking around holding signs and singing songs became violent in Swaziland. Go to the next slide. This is what I saw. Burning tires. They were attacking the police. And it got so dangerous that after about 3 or 4 weeks of this, the king called for martial law and the army was called out. I had to be evacuated. I was not ready to go. I was not finished. I had things I still needed to do. But for my own safety, I was urged by we have security consultants that we use in Springfield. I was urged by them to leave the country. So on Sunday morning, July the 4th, I got in my car and I drove to the city of Durban in South Africa. It was not lost on me that I went to freedom on the 4th of July. That was not lost on me at all. We have a large group of missionaries there in Durban, and several are from the North Texas District, so they welcomed me into their homes, and I had a beautiful week of rest and relaxation because I didn't realize just how much stress I had been under, having been sheltering in place for about 3 weeks and hearing automatic weapons fire in the distance. I was in a safe place, but that's a little disconcerting when you are a single woman and you live with 2 other single women and you're hearing, you're seeing fires and explosions and automatic weapons fire, and you don't know what's going on. So I had a week of beautiful, stress-free sitting on the beach, and then Durban erupted into civil unrest 7 days after I got there. So I got to be evacuated twice in 2 weeks from two different countries, and the missionaries there have told me that I now have the black belt of evacuations. Okay. Wasn't on my list of things to do, but okay. But some of the many reasons why there is so much protest in Eswatini and in Southern Africa in general, it's on the next slide. They suffer from extreme poverty. You know, we think we know what poverty is. We don't. We don't. We have no idea what true poverty really is. There's high unemployment. Education is free up until you get to high school, but then you pay for high school. But then when you go to the state university, they pay for that. So we have a lot of college graduates, but no jobs. No jobs. The medical care in Eswatini is pitiful. Pitiful. We lost a lot of high-profile people to COVID simply because we didn't have what they needed to survive. Our prime minister actually died of COVID because there were no breathing machines available. The average life expectancy in Eswatini is 57 years. 57 years. I would hazard a guess and say that probably at least 90% of us here are over 57 years old. Nobody believes me when I tell them I'm 64 years old. You can't be 64 years old. And I said, why not? I said, because you're not feeble. Everybody we know that is 64 years old is feeble and about to die. And you still have all your teeth. I said, well, you know, I will always have all my teeth. They may not be the teeth that I was born with, but they will be mine because I paid for them. I will always have all my teeth. But the poor educational system. The educational system was pretty bad before COVID, but when they shut the schools down, we're seeing some learning loss here in the U.S. It's like 10 times worse in Africa, where the kids didn't go to school. They didn't only lose what they were supposed to learn that year. They forgot everything they ever knew, it seems like. The education system is not good. The teachers have been striking because the government hasn't been paying them. So there's that. There are, within the culture, there are occult practices and ancestor worship. And some of these things have actually snuck their way into churches, which makes it difficult. You know, but it's our culture. We have to do this. It's our culture. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says don't do this. And you need to make a choice. This is what we tell our pastors when they come to us with this. You know, you are the pastor. You have to make a choice. When the culture and the Bible collide, which one are you going to go with? That's a difficult choice for a lot of them because the culture is so ingrained in them. The government is corrupt. The king has, at last count, 15 wives and 30-something children. Yeah. And he appoints everybody in the government. Yeah, they have elections, but you can't run for office unless you have been approved by the king's office. So basically, the king just appoints everybody. So the government is extremely corrupt, and the violence is continuing from time to time. Even now, they're still having these violent outbreaks and these protests. So Eswatini is in crisis. And a lot of Southern Africa is dealing with the same issues that Eswatini is. Go to the next slide. That may sound familiar to you. Eswatini is not the only place that is feeling these issues. Right here in McKinney, Texas, There are issues that are just as important, that are crises to people here in McKinney, Texas. It seems like the whole world is suffering. Not just us far away, the whole world. What can we do? Go to the next slide. This is a question I want everybody to ask. The world seems like it's getting darker and darker. How can we, what can I do to bring light to a dark world? Not just in Africa, but right here in McKinney, Texas. What can I do? Go to the next slide. You may ask yourself that question. What can I do? What can I do? I'm just one person. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too poor. I'm not qualified. I'm afraid. What can I do? We all have the reason that we don't do what we know God has called us to do. Let me give you a little hint. The Bible tells us what we need to do. It's very simple. Go to the next slide. In the book of Luke, Jesus is talking to a young man, and he asks, the young man asks him, what do I need to do for eternal life? And Jesus, being the wise person that he was, turned that back around into a question and said, what does the law say? First, you know, what does it say? And then he goes on and says, how do you read it? So not only what does it say, but what is your interpretation of what it says? And the young man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus answered him and said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And not just live now, but live forever. And live abundantly. But how do we do that? You know, it sounds really simple. Love God, love your neighbor. That sounds really simple. Go to the next slide. Loving your neighbor as yourself, that's the issue. Oh, yeah, I love my neighbor, but oh, I'm not going to help them because they got into that mess by themselves. They need to get out of it by themselves. Is that loving my neighbor like myself? Probably not. Who is my neighbor anyway? Who is my neighbor? I'm going to tell you like I tell all the children when I do children's church. Your neighbor is anybody who is not you. Let me say that again. Your neighbor is anybody who is not you. So anybody in this room who is not named Vicki Diane Willis Ross is my neighbor. Because you're not me. Any person that God brings into your path is your neighbor. The gal who checks you out at Walmart. The girl who takes your blood pressure when you go to the doctor, that's your neighbor. If they have a need that you are able to meet, you need to meet that need. It may be that they just need somebody to smile at them that day. Because everybody who's been through that office or through that line has been a grump. We can choose to be grumpy or gracious. Let that sink in. Let's go on to the next slide. You've already seen this scripture today. This is the typical missionary scripture. This is the other thing that God tells us to do. These are not optional. These are commands that God has given us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You will notice there, and excuse me, Pastor, you will notice there it does not say go and preach. It says make disciples. How do you do that? Making disciples is a one-on-one thing. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes investment. It does not take a degree in theology. I certainly don't have a degree in theology. I have a degree in biology. It does not take that kind of qualification to make disciples and to teach people what God has taught you. As we are going, go to the next slide. As we're going around in our daily life, the people that we run into, we are Jesus' representative here on earth. Now, where I live in Swaziland, I live about 2 kilometers from the American Embassy. And every 2 years, we get a new ambassador. I don't know why they do that, but every 2 years, we get a new ambassador, and there's always this meet and greet. So in my 8 years, I've met 4 different ambassadors. But it's comforting for me to know that that person represents my home country. And if I have any trouble, I can go to them and they can take care of it. We are the ambassadors of heaven. We represent Jesus Christ everywhere we go and in everything we do. That scripture that I just read doesn't tell you to go and bang things over people's head. Doesn't tell you to go and preach and stand on a box and yell and scream and wave the Bible. It says make disciples. Be a friend. Just be nice. My daughter told me, she's got a 2-year-old now, so she was telling me the other day, she said, Mom, you know the best advice you ever gave me when I was a little girl? And I said, what was that? She said, when I was going over to somebody's house, you told me, just be nice. She said, that has been the most profound bit of wisdom that you ever gave me. Just be nice. Okay, I can do that. So as you're going through your life, remember that you are representing Jesus Christ. There's somebody looking at you that may never hear the name of Jesus from a pulpit, that may never see the love of Jesus from someone's hand except for yours. So how do we start? How do we begin in this missional lifestyle? Go to the next slide. You might think, oh, I can't start something new now. I can't. I'm too old. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You are in charge of your life. Not the culture. Not the society that you live in. Not your health. Not your education. You are in charge of your life. You make the choices of what you want to do. So how do you begin to live a missional lifestyle? Go to the next slide. Start where you are. You do not have to go to Africa to be a missionary. You can go to CVS. You can go to Walmart. You can go to Kroger's. Wherever you go, there are people who need to know that Jesus loves them. Now, I don't mean go stand out in front of Kroger and preach a sermon. No, I mean, if you are living in the joy of the Lord, please tell your face and let people see that you are a joyful person. You know the needs in your community. You know the people that are around you, and you know what they need. Start where you are. It's simple. Your neighborhood, your family, the people that you run into, every interaction is a moment for the grace of the Lord to come out through you. What do you do next? Start where I don't have to go anywhere. Just in my daily life, I've just got to start seeing those opportunities. Start visualizing those opportunities. I think about that when I'm going through my life in Eswatini. You know, there are times when I'm not at the college. I'm out at the grocery store, or I'm buying petrol, or gasoline as we call it there, petrol. And I am representing not only Jesus Christ, but all of AGWM Africa and the college and the church that I go to. I feel the weight of that, that when people look at me, they will see all of these other things. So I always try to have positive interactions with people that I meet. The guy who pumps my gas. I mean, you never have to pump your own gas in Eswatini. If you ever want to come and not have to pump your gas, that's a place to go. The guy who pumps my gas. I always say, hi, how's your day going? You know, and just engage him in conversation and smile. Make him smile. Help his day to be a little bit brighter. You can do that. That's easy to do. Go to the next slide. Use what you have. It doesn't take money to make somebody smile. It doesn't take money to listen to somebody's problem. It doesn't take money to pray with somebody. It doesn't take money to give an encouraging word. Use what you have. If you have money, that's great. Give it to missions. We can use it. But if not, use what you have. Use the hands that God has given you. Use the personality God has given you. Use the skills that God has given you. I love seeing in your bulletin that there was a knitting and crochet group that meets here every week, right? I love to crochet. This is what I do when I sit down at night. I've got something in my hands. I have made I don't know how many baby blankets for the pregnancy center, the crisis pregnancy center. I have made I don't know how many hats and scarves for the homeless. We have at my home church has a homeless ministry. Once a month we go and feed the homeless. And that's a skill that I'm using to minister to other people. See, that didn't take any money. A lot of times people will actually just donate the yarn for me to do. I'm telling you, it doesn't take money. It doesn't take a whole bunch of resources to make a difference in somebody's life. Go to the next slide. And just because the need seems to be overwhelming, don't just do nothing. Do what you can. Make that baby blanket for the crisis pregnancy center. Make those hats and scarves for the homeless. Cook a meal for someone who is sick and can't get up and fix their own meal. Do what you can with what you have where you are. How simple is that? And the last point is this. Go to the next slide. You do what you can with what you have where you are and trust God for the rest. We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds today that may not be harvested for many years. But that's okay. Farmers know you don't go out and dig up your seed after 2 days because it hasn't sprouted. You wait. You water it. The sun shines on it. Someone else will come along and water that seed that you planted. God's grace will come down and will shine on that seed that you planted, and eventually it will sprout. The seed of the goodness of God that you planted in that person's life. Now, the question is this. Am I really called to serve God? Am I really called to this kind of life of service? Absolutely. Go to the next slide. The question is not, if you are called to serve. The question is where. You're here in McKinney, Texas. God has called you to be here in McKinney, Texas, or wherever it is that you live in the North Dallas area. God has called me to Eswatini. Unless I am in McKinney, Texas, and then God has called me to McKinney, Texas. I have to realize that God has called me to be in His service no matter where I am. No matter where I am. Why do we do that? Why? Why give my life to missions? Why share the love of Christ with other people? Why tell the world that I have joy in Jesus Christ? Because, go to the next slide, He is worthy. He is worthy of our best effort. He is worthy of us sharing His love. His love for us is so great, how can we not pass it on? I sometimes I'm just overwhelmed. I look at my life and the way God has blessed me, and not just on the mission field, but through my entire life. It's just overwhelming, the goodness of God. He's so good to us. How can we keep that to ourselves? How can we? We want to share that with everybody that we meet. This scripture, Revelation 5:9, when I first saw it, I thought, well, that's not really a missional scripture. Go to the next slide. But then I'll show you, yes, it really is. Revelation 5:9, the scripture says, they sang a new song with these words, "You are worthy, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." There are people here in North Dallas, in McKinney, Texas, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. God is bringing the nations to us. Not only people like us, but people different from us, who look different, who act different, who eat different food, who worship differently. God is bringing them to us. And because of His great goodness to us, He is worthy of our best effort to reach everyone that we run into with the gospel. God is so good. He is so good. There's no other way. And maybe that's why I do this, because God is so good to me that I can't keep it to myself. I can't. I have to share that with people. I am compelled by His goodness to give my life back to Him. You know, when we're little and we get saved, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus. When you're 6, 7, 8 years old and that happens, you have no idea what that means. Now, on the other end of that, I look back and I say, yes, I gave my life to Jesus at a very young age. Sometimes I kind of took it back and did things my way. And when I look at those times didn't really go so well. But when I gave myself completely to Him and to His will, that's when I could revel in His goodness. And I could see His blessings over and over.